Welcome back to Challenges of Faith radio program. This is the Journey of Hope relational segment with your host, Gary McCants, and co-host, Deborah Landrum. I am Deborah, and it is an absolute pleasure to meet you. More about me can be found in the show notes. Our first relational topic is trust. Let's talk about this thing called trust. What exactly is trust? I mean, really, what does the word mean? We have heard it used over and over in relationships, conversations, dinner talk, daycare, elementary, middle high school, college, classrooms, churches, synagogues, cathedrals, mosques, boardrooms, bedrooms, apartments, condominiums, homes, mansions, between cultures, classes, wealthy and poor, politician to the people, courtrooms, press rooms, and on and on. So let's examine the oh so powerful word, trust. Let's see if we can get on a fundamentally same path meaning for trust, because you know we're individuals, uniquely individual. So let's see if we could get a fundamental understanding of the meaning for the word trust. The bottom line, on our own volition, we decide to depend on or place our trust in the other person relative to some form of relationship. So let's take a closer look at some of the individuals you and I will meet on a daily basis while walking, running, or strolling through life. Individuals with whom we must decide to lower our guards and place our trust in. So are you ready? Well, let's go. Today is a very special day for me. I'm so excited to be here on Challenges of Faith, because it was about 15 years ago that I was first on Challenges of Faith. I share this part of my journey with you because I feel there's someone out there who needs to hear it. At that time, I had just come out of a homeless shelter. I had spent 3 or 4 months inside of a homeless shelter. And while there, I couldn't understand how on earth I had ended up in such a place. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you're in a homeless shelter. Maybe you're sitting in a jail cell. Or maybe you're just a wife who had found herself in an abusive relationship and don't know how you're going to get yourself out of this pickle. But you see, I want you to be able to hold on. Hold on, because there's hope. There is hope. And tomorrow is a whole new day to get your walk together with Christ. Because, see, I had always been one of the characters you're going to hear about on Challenges of Faith. One of the characters that Gary warns you about on our Challenges of Faith. The warning to help you navigate the pitfalls and the landmines of relationships. Because, see, everything is a relationship. And relationships are necessary. They're necessary because a bonding takes place during a relationship. So whether that relationship is with your friend, with your mom, with your dad, with your children, your neighbor, co-workers, partner, whoever that relationship is, there is a bonding process that takes place. And that bonding process is necessary. It's necessary biologically, scientifically, and socially. Because when we bond, our bodies form two hormones that are necessary for the bonding process. And so these relationships are necessary. So I want you to hold on, because there is hope. please hold on, because tomorrow is another day, and it is another opportunity. And if no one has ever said to you that I'm sorry for what you have had to go through, then I'm saying it now. I am sorry. I want to share something with you today that I've never shared publicly, and have only whispered it to a handful of people. Because, see, it was a big secret in my family. And the secret was me. The secret is me. My mother had given me up at birth, and an aunt took me in and raised me as her own. And I literally, for several years, didn't even know who my biological mother was. I thought my aunt was. So the thing about it is, it all came down to, because in the beginning, and especially as a child, if you can't trust your parents, if they lie to you, then who do you trust? So I understand the predicament that you may have found yourself in today. And this is why I want to apologize to you for anything that you've ever gone through. And I want you to hold on in there. I want you to hold on in there, because tomorrow is a whole nother day. And the one thing about Jesus Christ is he has a way of turning things around and making them right. And sometimes the lesson in it is for you. It's God's way of bringing you back around full circle to him. So as we go forward, I want to say that I'm wishing you well, and I want you to listen very, very closely to the warning sign of the challenges of faith that Gary so meticulously warns us about. Right now, I'm going to turn this show over to my dear brother in Christ, Gary McCants.
Welcome back to Challenges of Faith radio program. I'm Gary McCants. Thank you for joining. So, we're talking about trust. You know, trust, T-R-U-S-T. But the question is, what is it? Do you know? I mean, what is it? What does it mean? We've heard it used over and over in all types of relationships. You identify the relationship, you know, maybe between that boyfriend and girlfriend, girlfriend and boyfriend, that husband, wife, wife, husband, maybe your neighbor. Or how about the person over in the pews, your pastor? How about your employer? You're putting all that trust in them. How about your doctor, the judge, the law enforcement person, parole person? How about this sociologist? Come on now. And God forbid, we're talking about the politician. But we've heard it used over and over, also in conversation. Sitting at the dinner table. You know, you take your child to the daycare or maybe elementary school or the high school. You're listening to their professors. They happen to be yours. How about in the synagogue, the cathedrals, the mosque, the boardrooms, over in that bedroom, your apartment, your condo, your home, your mansion, maybe on your boat, flying on that jet, the helicopter. You know, between the cultures, the classes, you know, the wealthy and the poor, you know, politician to the people. And how about with the news media and on and on. So let's continue examining that oh-so-powerful word, trust, because the bottom line, on our own volition, you and I decide to depend on or place our trust in that other person relative to some form of relationship you know is true. You ready to take a closer look at some of the individuals you and I will meet on a daily basis while walking, running, strolling, jogging through life? You know, individuals that we're going to have to decide to lower our guards, you know, G-R-D-S, and place our trust in. Are you ready? You sure? Well, let's go. Slow down. Don't run. Let us truly take our time. Because that's the key to taking your time for what's been said. Choose your rut very carefully because you're going to be in it the next 1,000 miles. That's a long time. But are you ready? You know, the secular definition from Oxford of trust, firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Relations have to be built on trust. That's interesting. And you can ponder an example from your own life as it relates to trust. But how about some other real examples that's currently in the news? A $2 billion suit against a Powerball winner. It claims that the real person was blackmailed and told that the ticket that they possessed was a loser. Ponder that relationship between those two people. A nurse accused of killing two patients felt bad for their quality of life. Law enforcement accused the person, charged them. Let's see what happens. But think about those patients that put their trust in that medical person. Man declared innocent of attempted murder, 3 years in California prison. Wow. 33 years. Trust. Did they put their trust in the person that accused them? Did they put their trust in law enforcement to track down the right person? Did they put their trust in the prosecutor and the judge to do the right thing? Or maybe the jury of their peers? Did they trust their own defense attorney? Or maybe their friends, whoever was with them, testified for them? How about from the Bible standpoint? The word, not Gary, makes it clear to trust is to acknowledge God in everything. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. We're talking about God, but let's start off with what the word says about trusting others, you know, you and me, you know, men and women, women and men of clay, frailty, imperfection. But you think it's all new, don't you? Oh, okay. You know, on the topic of trusting others, King David said in Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9, I know you wrote it down. He said, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. And remember now, it's generic, man and woman. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. It doesn't make a difference what your title happened to be. But David spoke from experience, having been betrayed many times by those close to him. Take a look at Psalm 41:9. But you know what else? Instead of David becoming bitter or looking at all people as inherently untrustworthy and not worth his time, he learned a simple truth. And not only did he learn it, he taught it. He let it be known that individuals who are imperfect, you know, sinful individuals are going to fail us, but that we can always trust in God. Think of your own relationship, no matter what comes to your heart and mind, maybe with your doctor. You learn that they lied to you, but you have put your trust in their title. David's son, King Solomon, he learned that lesson well, and he added to his sentence, it's better to trust God than to trust our own minds. You know, the mind where the battle takes place, you know. Is up today, down tomorrow, up today, down tomorrow. You know, I remember going to the woodshed one time because I was naive. And I believe men and women, women and men, yes, I did, irrespective of whatever the background happens to be of mine. I don't have it going on. I know you do. But God, let it be known to me, who gave me the right to walk around and say that men and women, women and men were good and not sinners? Understand, your lips must match your shoes. And even then, you're still in need of a Savior if you don't know him. And if you do, you have to be empowered every day and filled with the Holy Spirit of God so you can be that man, that woman, and man of God that he would have you to be in your life. But what I would do if I met you, you were okay. I said you was okay. How can I do that? You got to prove that you are. And even though others are going to fail us, we ourselves are always trustworthy. You know it's true. And that's why we can and should still trust people to some degree. Notice I said to some degree. Because without trust, true relationship is impossible. It's because we know that God's going to never fail us, that we can trust others. And that's why I ask God, no matter who it is, including you, and you, and you. Oh, God, I'm going to meet some new people today. I don't know them. You do. You created them. You know their motives. Reveal to me what their true intent is toward me. You see, our ultimate security is in him. So we're free to trust others and experience the joy that it's going to bring. But understand, trusting others is almost inseparable from loving others. Because you're talking about true intimacy. And that can only be achieved through honesty and trust. You know, a relationship. The same one you have with God, if you know him. The same one you have with your boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend, or boyfriend. You know, that's who they are before they became your husband, your wife, your husband. Or maybe your friend, your neighbor, that pastor, that pew member, that politician. You know, I remember there were two individuals who happened to come from my community. Take the ones that come from your community, whatever your community happened to be around the globe. And they were trying to tell our community, those in our community, that them, who happened to be aides to individuals who were running for higher office. And they were supposed to be believers of the household of faith. And so I asked them a question. Why don't you two, representing two different political parties, return to the community? Tell the people who put their trust in you, whether it's your family, your friends, your co-workers, whomever. Tell them which one of your two candidates are truly for the people, trying to help the people. Because they're putting their trust in you, not the candidates. You know, I'm still waiting for either one of those two believers to bring those candidates. Oh, better yet, bring themselves. True intimacy can only be achieved through honesty and trust. It requires trust to bear one another's burdens. You know, like Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 talk about, and spur one another on toward love and good deeds, Hebrews 10:24. It takes trust to confess our sins to one another, James chapter 5, verse 16. Think about it. We're talking about a genuine relationship. You know, that's what God expects out of us. That's what our Savior expects out of us. The Holy Spirit of God expects out of us. But how about that two-legged person down here? Trust. Also to hear about our needs, like James chapter 5, verse 14, and Romans chapter 12, verse 15. You know, I always say to people, they may ask you to pray for them. They have enough trust in you to say, hey, pray for me. But they don't have enough trust in you to tell you why. So what I normally say to them, listen, I'm going to go to God. I don't know why I'm going to him because he knows everything. So God, help this person. I don't know why. What type of help they need? Does that make sense? trust is necessary in any type of human relationship. Think about it. You're talking about trust between a husband and a wife. But what were you before you became it, boyfriend or girlfriend? We're talking about, again, all types of relationships, family, neighbors, at your place of worship, between you and the pastor, you and the pew member, at your job, your supervisor, your coworkers, your subordinates, your nurse and your doctor, that car dealer, that insurance agent, your banker, your landlord. Especially for the healthy function of the family of Christ, we are believers. Around the household of faith, we as believers should be striving to be trustworthy. Remember how our Savior was clear that his followers should keep the word, like in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37 talked about? Remember how James repeated the command in James chapter 5, verse 12? Because I know you're writing it down, because I know you're going to go to it and verify that which I am saying is true. But believers are called upon to be discreet and refrain from gossiping, like Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, chapter 20, verse 19, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. You know, think about it, opening our lips, but gossiping. That's why you always hear me say, be careful when you're going down your aisle at your place of worship. And you're going down confessing. You're telling everything A through Z, and you forgot there's somebody sitting there just wants your information from a gossip standpoint. And God forbid we talk with that two-legged person who happens to be a criminal and you're giving all your business up to, or that person that's going to harm you mentally, physically, or emotionally. But at the same time, believers are called to speak up when appropriate and help bring about restoration from sin. You know, like Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 17. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 talks about, and we believers are to be speakers of truth and to speak this truth in love, like Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 talks about, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 talking about. So you want to talk to somebody, but you don't want to talk to them in love? Have you asked God to prepare your heart and their ears? Well, have you? And we're to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, you know, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth, like 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 talks about. And my brethren, the household of faith, we're also expected to care for the practical needs of others, like James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17, 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 through 21. And when you look at all of these actions together, do you notice how they contribute to being trustworthy? Because we as believers of the household of faith should be people that others can trust. And that trustworthiness is empowered by the Holy Spirit of God and work in our life. We don't have the power to do it on our own. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 through 26 talks about. Again, remember, trusting others is not always easy. You know it's not. But you and I are to be wise to take the time to get to know others and not heedlessly give them our complete trust. Remember, Woodshed, my brother-in-law, Don Kowser, love you, would always say, Gary, what happened to that factual law enforcement side of you where 1 + 1 did not equal 5? No matter who you meet. And boy, he was right. Our Savior did this when he withdrew from the crowds at times. Do you notice over in John chapter 2, verse 23 through 25? John chapter 6, verse 15. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to tell the difference between being wise about our trust and then being overly self-protective out of our past hurt or fear. A lot of times we find ourselves reluctant to trust anybody to any type of extent we are wise to do so, because in introspection, if you really go back and think about it, that's why you heard me say as we began, ponder your own example. But at the same time, if necessary, ask God to heal your wounded heart. I had to. Ain't no pride in my game. How about yours, believer? You know, the Word gives advice about trusting others after you and I have been hurt. But the key is trusting God. We got to start there first, because that's the important step. And when you and I know that no matter what men and women, women and men do to us, God will always be there, faithful, true, and trustworthy. Remember, a relationship, you heard me say, we'll continue to say, I look at everybody and everything like a relationship. You know, it's easier to handle betrayal or disappointment. Psalm 118:6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what can man, remember now, generic women do to me. They ain't going to stop that two-legged person from trying, especially with the help of that spiritual adversary, you know, the devil or whatever demonic force assigned to you. But, you know, reading God's word with attention, especially to the ways he describes his own faithfulness and trustworthiness, that'll be helpful to you and I, because prayer is important. And if we feel like God has betrayed our trust by allowing us to be hurt, then we need to be reminded of his truth and comforted by his love. Think about the relationship. You've heard me tell the story of that person. I don't care whether it's a man or woman, woman or man, or whatever your skin tone happened to be, whatever your zip code happened to be, it doesn't make a difference. But it does. It was that person that went out every day by a pond of water. They would pray. Now, I don't know if they were a believer in the household of faith, and I don't know if they were in right relationship with God. But I know that if somebody listening to this program is going to swear up and down, they know. And I haven't even told the story yet. But the person was by a pond of water, and they would pray every day, oh, God, send me this man, this woman, this woman, this man. Pray. And then one day they became impatient. And not only did they become impatient, but somebody else did too. So this one day they went out there, oh, God, please send me this man, this woman, this woman, this man. And there was an owl, O-W-L, sitting in a tree listening. And as they prayed that prayer, the owl got tired of listening to. They said, the owl said, who? The person said, anybody, just send me anybody. Okay. So that anybody that you met that wounded you, that hurt you, think about that. It began with trust. You know, the second step after being hurt by trusting others is forgiveness. As our Savior told Peter, you know, over in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 22, I know you wrote it down. If a brother sins against you 77 times a day and comes back asking for forgiveness, we should forgive. Oh yeah, you heard me. But the point is not that we should not forgive this 78th time, but that we should be individuals who seek to continually forgive. Listen, if a person is going to continuously betray our trust and don't even repent, we don't have to continue to associate with them or to make ourselves vulnerable to them. Are you crazy? A lot of times people out here think that believers, that meekness is weakness. That ain't what it's talking about. You heard that story about the believer? There was another individual who was not, but he knew enough about the word of God. And there was an audience listening to them. And so the one person who was not a believer struck the believer on the right cheek, knocked him down. The believer got up. The person struck him on the left cheek, knocked him down again. The believer got up. But this time when they got up, they whooped the other person. The other person who was not a believer but who knew some of the word, he said, wait a minute, I thought you was a believer. The believer said, let me tell you something. God told me to turn my left cheek. He told me to turn my right cheek. But he didn't tell me what to do after that. You understand? I know you do. We don't have to continue to associate with them or make ourselves vulnerable to them. But we also should not hold on to any bitterness or allow that person's action to stop our relationship with other people, like Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 through 15 talks about. And if the person is really repentant and not just crying some crocodile's ears or trying to tell you what you want to hear, even when it involves betrayal and exploited trust, we're to seek to fully forgive and even pursue restoration and rebuilding of trust over time. Remember now, as a part of our Savior's lesson on forgiveness, remember how he told the parable of a servant who was forgiven a huge debt and then went out and immediately became judgmental, maybe that's you, and was all cruel and negative with another servant who owed him a small amount? Do you remember the heartless actions of the unmerciful servant? Because that should remind you and us of our need to forgive. Remember, we've been forgiven by God, you know, a larger debt than anything other people owe to us. And you can see the total story in Matthew chapter 18, verse 23 through 25. I know you wrote it down. And remember, as we learn to trust others, you know it's true, you and I should continually strive to be trustworthy ourselves. We should be a safe place for others, like Proverbs chapter 3, verse 29 talked about. And we should be keeping confidence, like Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. You know, I tell ladies, if they want to listen, that if you met a guy that you're interested in, and you used to opening your lips gossiping about A through Z with your friends, and this is a guy that you say you prayed for. That's what you said. You said you was in a right relationship with God, and you asked God specifically for that person, the type of person. And that person came to you, and they told you men, based upon their upbringing and how they're on the inside, they shared with you something private from the inside just for you. And then they learned that confidence they gave you, you told everybody under the sun. You even went to NASA, asked to ride on the spaceship. You went out of Earth. You went to every galaxy and star that you could find, and you found somebody to tell them what that person in your life told you. We should be known for our honesty. Proverbs 12, 22, and a willingness to suffer with a friend, like Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 talks about. Because you got to remember now, everybody, including you, go through some challenging times. That's why the program is known as Challenges of Faith Radio Program. It's based upon all of my challenging trials, those rough and hard times. And we need our genuine friendships. You didn't hear me say anything about the phony ones? The phony ones that keep you alert, even more when the sun is not shining. Remember? That friend of yours, you say that's who they are. They're not just there when the sun is shining, but also when it's raining, because there are times we've got to remember that we're going to let others down ourselves. But we should always strive to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called, and with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. That didn't come from Gary. That came from the Word over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 2. So we've talked about trust and the individual and all those other titles of people that surround you. How about with our Savior? Because you got to remember now, trusting in our Savior means believing in him for salvation, like John chapter 3, verse 16 talking about. Think about it. You go to the airport, you get on the plane, you're going wherever you're going. You have now put your trust in that pilot. You don't know anything about that pilot. You don't know if they're intoxicated, got chemicals in them, whatever. Take you wherever you want. I have to laugh at this point. I remember my beloved parents, who are now absent from the body and present with the Lord. But I remember, I don't know if I was flying from New York. I don't know where I was at. But I sent them a airline ticket so that they could go home to where they were born. My mom, who is more of a comedian than I, she said, thank you. She said, but I can't accept her. I said, why? She said, well, get on the plane. She said, you'd be sitting on the plane and the parts inside that plane would be on the ground while you're sitting there and don't know anything about it. We're talking about trusting in our Savior means believing in him for our salvation. Think about it. We believe who he is, God in human form. And we put our faith in him as our Savior. You know, think about what I'm sharing with you for your future life when he calls your name. And we believe that what he's done, that he died for our sins and rose from the dead. And you know, since you can't save yourself from sin and death, like Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 20 talks about, we trust in Jesus to save us, like John chapter 11, verse 25 says. Because the bottom line, you and I can't receive eternal life. You hear me say anything about temporary life? So if you got somebody out there behind the pulpit, in the pews, out there on the street, in the classroom, telling you something different, that's not what the word is saying, because God is not a temporary God. So you and I cannot receive eternal life and live forever in the presence of God until we trusted in Jesus as our Savior and accept his forgiveness. Have you done so? Because that's what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 is talking about. It's talking about trusting in Jesus. It's talking about making it clear that it means a commitment. It means dedicating our lives entirely to him. And when you and I are born again, we become followers of Jesus Christ. And as his followers, we put our complete trust in him and his word. Think about the human relationship that you have, that boyfriend and girlfriend, girlfriend and boyfriend, before you became husband and wife. There was a trust factor while you're learning each other. You learn warts and all. You learn when, no disrespect, when the other person broke wind when they didn't. That's called reality. You can rock around dignified all you want to. That's called realness. But to trust in our Savior means to believe everything he said and accept his word as true. Ladies, men, ladies, that's exactly what you're doing in any type of relationship. That's why you heard me say, whether it's the politician, the wealthy person, the banker, the car dealer, the neighbor, the pastor, you identify the person. I'm not. So our Savior said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, over in John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32. And you got to remember, the more we know and abide in the words of our Savior, is the more we will obey him, and the more our confidence in him will grow as we experience freedom in Christ. Remember, a genuine relationship, because we're talking about a trustworthy promise that our Savior gave us in his word. You remember his word, like over in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30? Remember how he said, come to him to find rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Think about it. You're not going to go to him unless you trust him. You know it's true. So he's asking us to come to him for rest. Understand, my brethren, the household of faith, I know you do, that rest is another way of expressing trust. It's about leaning on our Savior for strength. And not only leaning on him, but learning from him, because he's going to share the load as we journey it together. And when we are tired and overburdened, we can come alongside our Savior and find rest for our souls. And in this way, we trust in Jesus by relying on him for everything in our life, especially when we are weary and burdened down. And you can see that over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, because it's letting you know how that our Savior is the Sabbath rest for all of us. And understand, in any genuine relationship, think about that person that you're meeting or have met. And you've asked God to cause you to be discernible. You're not going off your own intellect. You're not going off your friend's intellect. You're not going off your parents, or, you know, whoever comes to your heart and mind. Our Savior understands our weaknesses. He knows we're going to struggle to trust him. And that's why the scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And you can find that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. And so when you and I take our anxious heart to God in prayer, he offers us peace. His presence is peace. Do you notice how the passage didn't say he always give us what we're asking for? Do you notice he promised peace to guard our hearts and minds? Do you notice that when we trust in our Savior, it means to come to him and to believe he is good and trustworthy and that his plans for our lives and our future are just the same, good and trustworthy. You and I don't have to run around here worrying about tomorrow, especially when we're trusting in our Savior. You notice how he pours out his peace on us. Now think about the relationship in your life, that person, or whatever comes to your heart and mind, you put your trust in. I don't care whether it's a two-legged person or materialism. How long can you put your trust in it? It's going to let you down. But you notice how our trust in our Savior, it grows through our experience. Like 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 talks about, as we see God working in all these things in our lives, both the good and the bad, for his purpose, when you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And do you notice how our Savior wants us to live by faith in him? Like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 talks about. And so when you look at our life in Christ, you notice how it becomes a testing and training ground? Guess what? In trust. In trust. Because James chapter 1, verse 2, 3, 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance finishes work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. In a relationship, irrespective of which a relationship is, had been, what are you learning? Are you growing? Are you being hurt? Are you being wounded? You know, our Savior said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. He said it in John chapter 14, verse 1. The question is, during those challenging trials in your life, are you trusting? Because you got to remember now, like Peter did, he encourages you and I that we can trust in our Savior even when you can't see him. Think about that man, that woman, that you do see. And you put all your trust in them and they let you down. But here we have a Savior that we have not seen. Peter says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. But these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And he said it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 18. Let me say this to you. And I'm only talking about me. I can't talk about you. You can talk about you. The near 18 times that I know, and I know that when I get to heaven, God will reveal more. But while still down here on earth, the 18 times near the death of doorway that I know of, I can't think of any man or woman or man that was there with me during that time. I know God was. So who am I going to give glory to, honor to? Understand, even though we can't see Jesus with our physical eyes, the Holy Spirit of God enables you and I to see him with the eyes of our hearts, like Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20 talks about, because our inability to see our Savior physically, it makes our trust in him even more secure. And that's why our Savior said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed, like John chapter 20, verse 29 talks about. And remember what the Apostle Paul said, what it means for a believer to trust in our Savior, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 through 18. He said, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an internal glory that far outweighs them. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. My brethren, the house of the faith, and those of you who are listening, our Savior is teaching us to trust him in all things, at all times, with all of our heart, like Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6 talks about. And it's that way so that our faith becomes unshakable. We're talking about trust today. We're talking about trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. And as we learn to trust in our Savior more, you notice how we identify more with the psalmist's description of a believer at rest in the arms of God. In Psalm 131, verse 2, the word not Gary, I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child. I am content. We're talking about trust today. This is what we're talking about. Question is, what type of trust you're talking about? You know, because all we need to know about God is he has graciously made available to us in his word, to his people, and understand to know God is to trust him. Thank you for taking the time and tuning in to Challenges of Faith radio program. The next time we continue our relational topic, we want to talk about the genuineness